UEFA Champions League does it again. A tale of two penalties in Madrid. And after a compelling first leg, it is all square between Atletico and Arsenal. We'll review their clash in the Spanish capital and preview next week's second legs with so much to play for in this season's semi-finals. I'm Chris Parrott, and what an evening we've had at the Metropolitana. The Atleti and Arsenal supporters begin to make their way out of the stadium. After a huge effort, it finished. Atleti 1, Arsenal 1. That, remember, after Tuesday's semi-final first leg, which Paris Saint-Germain won 5-4 against Bayern. So that is the tail of the tape at the halfway stage of this season's first legs. Delighted to be joined by the European football expert Andy Brassel and commentator Joe Shannon, who covered the first leg of Atleti Arsenal on Match Day Live. I'll start with you, Joe. It was an absorbing fixture, ebbed and flowed from minute one, and perhaps draw properly in the end, a fair result?
I think on balance, when you look at a reflection of the chances created, the opportunities that both teams had in a much more open second half that really was the most enthralling part of the game. And when you look at the performances and the way that both teams ebbed and flowed, as you say, in terms of domination of possession and territory, Chris, it feels about right. Both won penalties, both scored penalties, both had opportunities. Arsenal with Mosquera late on in the game, Nani Madueke early on in the first half. Atleti through Antoine Griezmann hitting the crossbar in the second half. They had a chance with Julian Alvarez in the first period. It felt like two very evenly matched teams, two head coaches going really head-to-head at the very top of their tactical acumen. It was a fascinating tactical battle throughout. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. 1-1, I think, about a fair result and all to play for in the second leg.
Only a six-day turnaround, and it was from the off, we knew it was coming. It was a really intense, passionate atmosphere. Two coaches with some similarities, I think,
yes,
in the way they kind of orchestrate things from the touchline, and it only builds up that tension already for the return in London. More of the same, I guess. It really is nothing to choose between them.
There's not, Chris, and there's a lot of mutual respect between the coaches and between the teams. I think that much is clear. But given how good Arsenal are defensively, given how hard they are to break, and given that they took the lead with that penalty, their first shot on target just before half-time, I think Joe said on commentary, and I agreed with him, that it's going to be very hard for Atletico from this point. So whatever team talk Diego Simeone gave, it was a really, really good one, because they came out in that second half and they put Arsenal's feet to the fire like few teams are able to do. They were really, really, really good in that second half. And I think, funnily enough, that's why we saw that slight change. We talked about momentum switches. In that last 10 minutes of normal time plus stoppage time, when Arsenal, either side of the third penalty of the game that was given and then retracted, there was that switch in momentum towards Arsenal, because it felt like Atleti had, well, left it all out there. I suppose the phrase is, and Arsenal was smart enough to almost take advantage of that.
Okay, let's get into it properly, minute by minute. Here is how the game unfolded. As I mentioned, Andy was alongside Joe for commentary.
Early ball into Alvarez, well controlled into the penalty area, trying to glide away from Gabriel. Oh, and what a shot, and what a save by David Raya. He turned on a penny there, Julian Alvarez. Now Nani Madueke darting forward towards the edge of the area and shooting only just wide. What a strike that was from Madueke. Erdogan over the top, Zubimendi edge of the area. Victor Gyökeres goes down, and the referee has given the penalty. It's going to be Victor Gyökeres who's been given the responsibility. Right footed, and he smashes it home.
Not right in the corner, but he hits it so truly. It's past Oblak before he can fully make the dive.
Nerves and the tension of the moment. A big deep breath from Alvarez. It's going to be a short run up. Here he goes, right footed, and he smashes it into the corner. Raya stands statuesque, and Atleti are level.
He hit that with such conviction. Just like Gyökeres in the first half.
Back towards Lookman, into the area now. Griezmann's shot hits the bar! And then Cardoso is charged down. In by Ruggeri. Griezmann on the volley wide!
I think we can officially say Arsenal are under the pump here.
Right-hand edge of the penalty area, across to Lookman. Brilliant first touch by Lookman! Oh, and it's saved by Raya!
This is such a tight game. Two such evenly matched teams.
It is all to play for going into the second leg.
It certainly is. Ultimately then, the two penalties. The opener from Victor Gyökeres, 42 minutes into the first leg. The leveller from Julian Alvarez, 11 minutes after half-time. But as you heard there, post that equaliser, Joe, Atleti with three or four really good chances amid an atmosphere which was spectacular at that stage. Key moment perhaps in this tie that Arsenal were able somehow to hold firm and not concede the second on the night.
Because at that stage Atleti had so much momentum that had they made it 2-1, potentially they could have gone on to score maybe three or even four. Griezmann is so unlucky. He's leaning backwards ever so slightly. He gets what looks like the perfect elevation on the ball. It's beaten David Raya, all ends up, comes back off the crossbar. I mean, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it, yes, Atleti unfortunate to miss those chances, but Arsenal were so resolute defensively, as they have been all season, up against some of the best teams in Europe, whether it be in the Premier League or the Champions League. Arsenal find a way to dig out a result, and they've done exactly that tonight.
Yeah, they have, and all credit to them for being able to do so. I don't think there are many teams in European football who would have withstood that second half from Atletico. And I think really when you look at, you know, these are two teams that are blessed with really, really strong benches as well. And we saw that at various points. And, you know, I think that really helped Arsenal in that last 10 minutes, for example, when they were able to counter the second half that Atletico had put to them. But really, I think you look at the substitutes bench for Atletico and you think at some point they're going to bring on Baena and Sorloth and Almada. The only reason they ended up bringing on Baena is because of that injury to Julian Alvarez, and hopefully he'll be available for the second leg. But everything they were doing was just so good in that second half. Antoine Griezmann has been voted UEFA's player of the match. I mean, it was a perfect, perfect performance for him in terms of physical effort, in terms of intelligence, in terms of linking with his teammates, and almost the goal as well, hitting the crossbar in the second half. And given that this is, you know, his last UEFA Champions League game at the Metropolitano before he departs the club this summer, he couldn't have signed off in any more of a positive way. Really.
And there was a lovely moment at the end when he went over to the supporters and kind of stood just ahead of the rest of his teammates, who were very happy to let him happy. I mean, it has been a love affair between Antoine Griezmann and Atleti, Joe, and you could feel that warmth and admiration from player to fans and from fans back to players after his final European home game.
It's a very special relationship that they've got, Griezmann and the Atleti fans. You don't see it very often at many clubs around Europe these days. Players who've got such a longevity at one club and have engendered so much respect. That over two spells, if you include the initial loan that he had before he made his permanent move. He's their all-time top goal scorer. He is forever a legend at that club. And I think he is one of European football's greats of this generation.
And of course he wants to bow out in Budapest in a month, with helping Atleti pick up their first European crown, the trophy they so desperately want after those three heartbreaking final defeats in their history. And they are very, very much in this tie. How impressive, you've touched on it, Andy, but how impressive was that second half display after, I guess, going in at the break, having played well, but will be, whenever you concede a goal, disappointed. So to pick themselves up and to produce 45 minutes like they did, showing
the quality they have.
Yeah, it was extraordinary. Like, there's no doubt the atmosphere helped them at the Metropolitano, as it often does. You know, they're so powerful here for a reason, I think it's fair to say. But especially when you look at the substitution at half-time. Now, we'll wait to see if that was inspired by injury or whether it was tactical. I expect certainly the player that came on was tactical, of course, Robin Lenormand coming on for Giuliano Simeone. But Giuliano Simeone, if you're looking to launch a counter-attack, if you're looking to match Arsenal for covering every blade of grass, he's a player you want to keep on. So I assume it was an injury. Of course, it elicited a slight change in shape. And it worked really well. It worked really well for Koke. It worked really well for Griezmann as well. And it helped Ademola Lookman get in the game more and more. And we saw so much effort from the wing-backs as well. Once they moved to that back three, they got so much out of Ruggeri and Marcos Llorente in that attacking sense in the second half. You know, I think a lot of people say Diego Simeone's stuck in his ways. Well, that was the ultimate riposte to that. You know, he's still got so much tactical acumen as well as motivation.
And how he sets up in the second leg is going to be really interesting, given that change at the break. Let's hear from Arsenal's goal scorer on the night, Victor Gyökeres.
I think in the first half, we controlled the game quite well, I think, and had a few good opportunities to score. Managed to score out of one of them. And then I think in the second half they started much better. Maybe deserved to get a goal eventually. And then, yeah, we towards the end, I think we got a few okay chances. But, yeah, overall, I think tough game. We know it's a tough place to come. But, yeah, it's only half time.
Honest assessment from Victor Gyökeres. You could hear in his voice, knowing that you've played your part in a very high-level football match, Victor Gyökeres, tonight. And just to touch upon what he said at the end, because Atleti, having equalised, had that spell, which we've talked about, where they had lots of good opportunities. But after the penalty which was given and then the VAR review saying that there was no foul, that was in the 82nd minute. How well did Arsenal do after that, Joe, to kind of calm the game down, almost bring back control, and then actually, in the last 5 minutes, perhaps if you thought who was going to score the winner on the night, it was probably Arsenal.
Extremely well in terms of managing the game. I thought they got the subs into the game very effectively in the last 10 minutes. Eze had some really lovely silky touches. Bukayo Saka looked a threat in the right wing position. Leandro Trossard looked a threat in the left wing position. He brought on Mosquera, who has been actually used quite a lot in recent weeks because they've got Uri and Timber out at the moment, and Mosquera for White is obviously a direct replacement. He got forward, I thought, to really good effect, playing in a slightly inverted role, so coming infield into a central position, the right back, linking up with Saka. And of course, it's he who finds himself with the last big chance of the game inside the penalty area, shoots straight at Oblak. I thought the way that Mikel Arteta got the subs into the game in the latter stages really helped Arsenal to manage it effectively.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just wonder if the delay for the VAR review of what would have been the third penalty of the game allowed Arsenal to take a breath, really, because at that point, you know, the incident was completely against the run of play.
Yeah.
It was the first time that Arsenal had got out, really. And it just felt that they could take a breath. And it took a little bit of the momentum away from Atletico. And they probably stood there thinking, wow, we have put in an enormous effort in this second half. And, you know what it's like when you're working hard and you stop. Sometimes it's quite hard to get going again. And I certainly felt that was the case for Atletico. I felt in that closing stage, as Joe said, not only the introduction of Mosquera, but that was the point really where Eze started to get on the ball and started to control the game really well. But I think we have to say, from the Arsenal perspective, I mean, Declan Rice throughout in a number of different roles just gave them some calm at the moment that they needed it, as well as that extra bit of physical power to look after those attacking players who were causing Arsenal so many problems in the second half.
Joe, Arsenal still unbeaten in this season's UEFA Champions League. Top of the league phase, have now come through, of course, a couple of knockout rounds. How do you expect that the second leg? Do you think it's going to be similar in terms of, you know, one team having a spell, then the other coming back, kind of similar to what we saw in the first leg?
Yes, I think it'll be cagey. I don't necessarily think it'll suddenly become a really open game. That just isn't Arsenal's style under Mikel Arteta. They didn't get many set-piece opportunities today. Set plays could well come into it. I think we'll see a slightly more assertive Arsenal, or at least an Arsenal slightly more keen to get on the ball, play a little more vertically than they did, dominate possession a little bit more and try and be assertive in the game. Atleti might have to bide their time on the counter, but of course they've got such explosive threat on the counter-attack, whether it's Griezmann, Lookman and Alvarez, whether Baena gets a start, whether Sorloth gets a start. Arsenal will hope, I think, that Bukayo Saka is fit to play from the off next week, that Eberechi Eze is fit to play from the off next week. So I think we'll see one or two changes in personnel, but I think as far as the nature of the game is concerned, I don't think it'll be a great deal different from what we saw tonight.
And last season they reached the semi-finals for the first time in a number of years. Back-to-back trips to the last four for the first time in their history, Andy. Going into the second leg 12 months ago, they'd lost at home to Paris Saint-Germain and therefore were behind in the tie. So this is new territory in a way. Never won the competition, same as Atletico. It is a massive game, isn't it, for Arsenal?
It's absolutely huge for Arsenal. But all I would say is there are a couple of things to point out. Firstly, the fact that in their last two exits from the Champions League, they've been away in the second leg both times. So taking it back to the Arsenal Stadium, I think is a big deal. Secondly, I think you look at everything that Arsenal have contributed to the UEFA Champions League since they've been back in it. Teams do not go 6 years out of the Champions League and then come back, lose to Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals, and feel disappointed. Yes. They lost by the odd goal over two games. That they went out to Paris Saint-Germain last year, who were the best team in the competition. There's no argument about that. But Arsenal gave them a great game, especially in the second leg. And so for Arsenal to go to such advanced stages of the Champions League, get edged out and have that feeling of regret. Look, they know exactly how good they are. And they will be determined not to let this opportunity slip. One game from Budapest, that's all it is.
Well, one person who will be key next Tuesday night will be Jan Oblak, the Atletico goalkeeper, back, of course, in European football. He's had a little spell out and he was delighted to make his return in the Champions League.
Great, always great feeling always nice to play for this shirt. I would like it to finish the game with a win, but in the end it didn't happen. I think we did a great game. We play pretty well and it's still everything open for the second leg.
Jan Oblak there, and we mentioned Arsenal record at home. Andy, we have to mention Atleti away from home. 2-0 win at Barcelona in the last round. They too will head with huge confidence that they can be making the trip to the capital of Hungary.
And I feel that Barcelona game could be absolutely pivotal for them, really. In terms of Atletico's belief, there are a couple of things that happened in the quarterfinal stage. Firstly, the fact that they were able to get an away win of substance in the UEFA Champions League. And secondly, the fact that both Barcelona, by their own hand, and Real Madrid, by the hand of FC Bayern, went out in that round. Of course, we know there are three other huge teams in the competition. But this, in terms of saying to Atletico, this could be your year. Look, I'm sure all four of these teams feel that. And there's no reason they shouldn't after this week, because I can't remember the last time we got to the end of a semi-final stage and you thought all four of these teams really could win it. Not saying they could win it because they're in it, but have genuine hopes of winning it. I think it's still a really open competition at this point.
Well, get your thinking caps on, because at the end of this, I'm going to ask you who you think are going to be the two finalists. You've got about 8 minutes to make your minds up. And one other thing which we have to mention, history for Argentina on this semi-final first leg, and Julian Alvarez, the quickest player from that football mad nation to 25 goals. 41 matches it has taken him. Whew. It took Leo Messi 42. So that is some company that Julian Alvarez is keeping, and he will hope to add to that tally of 25 in the second leg. Next, we're going to look at the other last four tie, which will conclude next Wednesday. The absolute cracker between Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.
So Atleti or Arsenal will meet Paris Saint-Germain, the holders, or Bayern in the showpiece this season. And how will those two top an astonishing first leg?
It's Kane against Safonov. 4 metre run-up, a little stutter, a little pause, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way and rolls it into the bottom right-hand corner of the net. Left-hand side of the penalty area, cutting inside, shooting and scoring brilliantly. Incredible individual goal by Grisha Kvaratskhelia. Dembele with the corner, and in the near post it's met by João Neves, who guides a header beyond Neuer into the far corner. Saint-Germain have turned this around. We're inside the final 5 minutes of the first half in the Parc des Princes. But here's Olise, inside the box, goal. Received the ball in a dangerous area, carried it 2-3 metres and thunders the ball home. He'll move from the edge of the penalty area. He strikes right-footed and he beats Manuel Neuer. Away to Neuer's left, he gets the right way, the goalkeeper. He wasn't far away, but that was one heck of a spot kick from Ousmane Dembélé. Too pacey, too powerful. What a pass by Vitinha. Hakimi inside the penalty area. Players arriving in pace. It's Kvaratskhelia! It's another goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Brilliantly finished by the Georgian genius that is Grisha Kvaratskhelia. And it's a big lead now for Paris in the context of the tie. Doué helps it on to Dembélé. Dembélé on the left side of the penalty area. He shoots, he scores! He's crept it in the near post. Past Manuel Neuer. Delivered towards Upamecano. It's in for Bayern. They have got the goal that they wanted, the goal that they needed. Luis Diaz inside the penalty here. Turns and scores. Sensational goal by Luis Diaz. Twisted Marquinhos one way, went the other.
24 hours on. Still scarcely believable what happened in the Parc des Princes. The match which everyone was talking about. Paris Saint-Germain 5, Bayern 4, the first leg of that last four tie. It was historic. Ousmane Dembélé's penalty, which you heard there, made it the first ever semi-final with 5 goals in the first half. Bayern's second half comeback ensured the first ever semi-final match to feature 9 goals. Luis Enrique, Joe, after the game, kind of was asked about the second leg. He gave a brilliant answer. He said, "I asked my staff how many goals we need to score in Munich to qualify. The feeling is at least 3.
Well, we're in for some second leg then, if that's going to be the case.
I mean, it's brilliantly open and honest. He and Vincent Kompany, both teams, you just felt on Tuesday, they played in the spirit, the way that their coaches see football and demand that it's played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you have to talk about enormous individual quality as well. I actually thought Harry Kane's point that he made elsewhere in that interview about some of the individual defending being really good.
Yes.
But we're talking about some of the best attacking players in the world. I mean, you're thinking about England's captain in Harry Kane, the current Ballon d'Or in Ousmane Dembélé. And you could make an argument that neither of those are the best players in their team, because Michael Olise is incredible at the moment, mm-hmm. and had one of his very best games of the season. Grisha Kvaratskhelia was astonishing as well. And you know what? Paris Saint-Germain could replace him next week if they needed to with Bradley Barcola, and they'd still have an incredible front three.
And we heard also Luis Enrique talking about going back to Munich, where They were so dominant in the final, the greatest night in the club's history as they finally lifted the trophy for the first time. So they will have very fond memories of Munich as well as the one goal lead to take into that second leg.
They will, and I think history and the performance that they gave last night gives them no fear whatsoever. I just think these are two sides who play without fear, who play without abandon. It's all set up for such an exciting second leg in terms of the creative talent that we got on the field, the individual quality that Andy's mentioned. I mean, it finished 5-4 in the first leg. It could be 5-4 in the second leg. Who knows?
Could. One player who will be very important, of course, is Paris Saint-Germain's midfield schema, Vitinha.
I think it was really a really great match of football. I don't know if it was, but surely it's in the one of the best matches I played. I've been part, and even more being a semi-final of Champions League, two great teams. It's difficult to because we I think it would be like normally if we went on different sides. I think we could have seen in the final. We saw each other a little bit earlier, but still did a great show here. Obviously, we played to win, and we would have preferred to win 5-0. But it's impossible against this kind of teams. Bayern Munich, it's a great team. I think they say the same about us. Gladly, we did here a great match of football for both teams. Gladly as well, we left here with a little bit of advantage for the next game.
I love this stage of the competition when you hear from players. We heard from Victor Gyökeres earlier. You could hear the respect he had for Atletico.
Yeah.
Vitinha there, you can hear the respect that he knows about Bayern. This is top level football. And the other point I wanted to make, Andy, last season we had an epic semi-final when Inter beat Barcelona. 4-3 it finished in the second leg of that one. Feels quite similar to this tie, and if it's anything like that second leg from San Siro, then hold on to your hats.
Yeah, well, it would mean we get 30 minutes extra as well,
which
no one's saying no to.
Quite.
But Kevin Hatchard, who was on Champions League Match Day Live last night, said to me at the weekend, I'll be disappointed if it isn't the same sort of level of excitement as last season's semi-final between Inter and Barcelona. I remember thinking, OK, these are two great teams, but how are they going to manage that?
Yeah.
And they've surpassed it.
Bettered it.
Yeah.
Year on year, this competition, when it gets to this stage, you cannot miss a Champions League night. And we'll be back with you on Tuesday and Wednesday on Match Day Live. Let's wrap up. Arsenal against Atleti. And I said you had 8 minutes. I think I've given you six. So I want to know, gents, after very, very tight first legs, who is heading to Budapest? What is the final going to be?
Bayern Arsenal.
I hate to be boring, but I was going to say exactly the same thing. I think Bayern and Arsenal.
We will hold you to this, by the way. Also, Andy, that was the quickest response we've ever had in one of these predictions.
I've spent eight. It's not that fast. I spent 8 minutes thinking about it.
How many times did you flip between it in that time?
Maybe a little bit.
Bayern and Paris, there was a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing. I'm fairly confident about Arsenal, and I think the way that Bayern played, even in defeat in Paris, gives me a sense that they will go and potentially dominate that second leg, but we'll see.
We will, and we can't wait. Joe, Andy, thank you very much for joining us on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Level then between Atleti and Arsenal heading in to the second leg. That is next Tuesday. And then it is on Wednesday, Bayern against Paris Saint-Germain. We'll be on air from 15 minutes before those two second legs get underway. Every kick you will hear, full match commentary from Munich and from London. Don't forget as well, this podcast available shortly after every match night of the UEFA Champions League to download. We've had brilliant first legs, more of the same, I'm sure, in the second. From me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.